Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This Advent is our fourth Advent together as pastor and people. In our midweek Advent Vespers the first 2 years, we reflected on the ancient O antiphons and the hymn, O Come, Emmanuel. And last year, we considered prophecies of our Savior's birth that had been fulfilled for us. This year, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod suggested that midweek Advent services reflect on the events before Jesus' birth, as narrated in St. Luke's divinely inspired gospel account. And despite some overlap with the appointed Sunday readings in this year of our 3-year series of readings, we're going to largely follow the Synod's suggestions with just a few adaptations. Thus, this Advent season and into the Christmas season, we hear and reflect on the announcements and then the miraculous births of sons to two seemingly insignificant women. Tonight we heard the announcement of John the Baptizer's birth, and we reflect on that under the theme, Believing, Words Fulfilled in Their Time. Tonight's second reading from St. Luke's Gospel account tells, as it were, the beginning of the fulfillment of prophecy that God made through the prophet Malachi, which we heard in tonight's first reading. Just before that first reading, the people of the day were asking where the God of justice was. And so, in the reading, the Lord, through Malachi, told them that the Lord whom they were seeking would come to his temple unexpectedly. But not before the long-promised extraordinary messenger came first, the one like the prophet Elijah, who was coming to prepare the Lord's way. In the second reading, the words of the angel Gabriel that stand at the center of the reading make clear that John the Baptizer is that long-promised extraordinary messenger, the one who will go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah. As with the prophet Daniel hundreds of years earlier, the angel Gabriel appeared to Zechariah at a time of sacrifice, when Zechariah was serving in what may have been a once-in-a-lifetime, if even, role at the temple. Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth were both of priestly lines, but they themselves were childless. Zechariah had been praying for a son, and yet did not have the faith to believe that God's words spoken through his messenger about the birth of a son would be fulfilled in their time. God's words spoken to us through his messengers make all sorts of promises to us. How well do we believe those promises that they also will be fulfilled in their time? When we question the fulfillment of those promises, are our questions more logistical, like Mary's, which we will hear next week? Are they more unbelieving, like Zechariah's, which we heard tonight? To be sure, our sinful human nature does not want to and cannot on its own believe God's promises to us. Perhaps we are like the people of Malachi's day, asking where the God of justice is, or regarding in the sight of the Lord as good what is in his sight actually evil. As I yesterday prepared the first test for our youth catechumens, I included on the test the various things forbidden and commanded by the Ten Commandments. And I was reminded how much I myself sin by doing things forbidden and by failing to do things commanded. I'm sure you would also come to the same conclusion as you reflect on the commandments. As the Lord made clear through Malachi, he is coming in judgment. not only to be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired worker in his or her wages, or who oppress the widow and the orphan, against those who thrust aside the sojourner, and against those who do not fear God, but he is also coming to be a swift witness against all those who sin in any other way, against all the godless, as we all are by nature. As many of those sins named through Malachi were punishable with death, so we all deserve death now and for eternity on account of our sin. By nature, none of us can endure the day of the Lord's coming, stand when he appears, unless we return to him. That is, unless we repent. When we return in sorrow over our sin, trust God to forgive our sin for Jesus' sake, and want to do better, then God truly forgives our sin and our sinful natures. Thus, John the Baptizer and Jesus after him preached repentance and the forgiveness of sin, God's law that condemns sin, and God's good news of the gospel, that in Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. So, through John the Baptizer, the Holy Spirit turned then and turns today many to the Lord their God, making ready for the Lord a people prepared. The Lord's words to Zechariah through Gabriel were fulfilled in their time. And as we'll hear more about in 2 weeks, the sign given to Zechariah, his inability to speak, came to an end. More importantly, the Lord's words to us and to all people through Malachi were fulfilled in their time, as we'll hear more about in the Christmas season. After Malachi's prophecy and some 400 years of prophetic silence, the Lord unexpectedly came to his temple in the flesh of Mary's infant, who grew up to be the man Jesus. Jesus was and is the messenger of the covenant, in whom all delight. As we fear God and as we believe in him, in his death on the cross and in his resurrection from the grave, for us and for our salvation, we are delivered from our sins. As we heard in the psalm tonight, God's mercy and love for us lead to our redemption and forgiveness. Or as in Malachi's prophecy, because the Lord does not change in the ways of his mercy and love, we are not consumed by his wrath. To be sure, God, through his Son, does purify and refine us, as if new children of Levi. We bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Through God's word and through his sacraments, preached and administered by his chosen messengers, God brings us to faith and gives us the forgiveness of sins that Jesus won for us on the cross. Jesus' death and resurrection are our exodus from our slavery to sin. And as with the people of Israel's exodus from slavery in Egypt, we cross through the waters of holy baptism and feast on the new Passover lamb who gives us his body and his blood in with and under bread and wine. In these ways, he who was dead and is now alive makes us to be living sacrifices, presenting our bodies as our spiritual worship, in which we are not conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewal of our minds. We are a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, proclaiming the excellencies of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Like Zechariah and Elizabeth before us, we are righteous before God by grace through faith. We walk blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord, as we are forgiven for our failures to do so. Even in some cases of failures like Zechariah's, to believe God's words to us will be fulfilled in their time. Gabriel told Zechariah that he would have joy and gladness, and that many would rejoice at John's birth, as they did indeed. One of my joys in preaching these midweek Advent Vespers and any sermon is the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to lead me to new insights into what are very often familiar passages of Holy Scripture. In the case of tonight's second reading, for example, a new insight for me was that the people waiting for Zechariah may well have expected that when he came out of the temple, he would give them the Aaronic benediction, which I give to you at the close of every divine service. But Zechariah was unable to do so because he had been struck mute. One particular commentator suggests that, in a sense, this benediction withheld at the beginning of St. Luke's gospel account is given at its end, when Jesus himself blesses his disciples before he ascended into heaven and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple rejoicing and praising God. We who are sinful by nature are ourselves blessed as we repent and believe and are forgiven in Jesus Christ. Next week we will hear his birth announcement and how the Virgin Mary, perhaps the first person other than Zechariah to break Elizabeth's solitude and to know of her pregnancy with John, which was for Mary a sign of the certainty of God's promises to her. We will hear how she, in believing his words to her would be fulfilled in their time, was blessed. Blessed as we are blessed, believing all his words to us, that they, either at our deaths or at his final coming, will finally and completely be fulfilled in their time. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.